next case today, which is United States versus Sanders.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Paul Camarena on behalf of Appellant Tyler Sanders. Your Honors, the term cocaine base encompasses both simple cocaine base and crack cocaine. However, not all cocaine base is crack, obviously. This is significant because the statutory mandatory minimum sentence for distributing 50 grams of cocaine base is 20 years. However, the problem is that Congress has never specifically defined what it means by the term cocaine base. Nevertheless, in United States versus Booker, a 1995 case, this court held that Congress intended cocaine base to mean only crack cocaine.
Mr. Camarena, let me just kind of cut to the chase here. Is there any reason to think that the kind of argument you're making here is not one that is subject to harmless error analysis? And if it is subject to harmless error analysis, it sure seems to me that there's overwhelming evidence in this record that at least this man was dealing with crack. I mean, he says it's crack. Other people say it's crack. They identify it as crack. So if there's a harmless error element to this case at all, and of course, as you know, there usually is, there are only a very small number of errors not subject to that analysis, isn't all of this, even if there was a mistake, isn't it inconsequential?
Your Honor, I would submit that it's not inconsequential because if the jury had found Mr. Sanders guilty of distributing simple cocaine base, his guideline sentence would be between 24 and 30 months.
Right, but what are the chances? I mean, first of all, the jury is told cocaine base, commonly known as crack, and the other thing is the jury has nothing in front of it to suggest there's anything but crack. He calls it crack himself. The parties stipulate that a chemist would call it cocaine base, commonly known as crack.
Your Honor, I would submit that the problem with that is exactly what this case is about. All the parties at the district court level, the government, the defense, Judge Connelly, and the jury used the terms as if they were interchangeable. Cocaine base, commonly known as crack. Cocaine base, also known as crack, the government stated. Cocaine base, or otherwise known as crack cocaine. That suggests that the terms are interchangeable, and that would have suggested to the jury that the terms are interchangeable. Consequently, they came back with a verdict that suggests that the terms are interchangeable, and for sentencing purposes, they're absolutely not interchangeable because...
Well, I understand that, but the point is, he calls it crack himself. And the other people, I mean, we know that there are these other, fancy forms of cocaine base that aren't crack, but the stuff here, which was in the record, right? I mean, it was like presented at trial. It was little rocks of things, that are crack.
No, right? He did. There was an admission that was admitted into evidence where he referred to it as crack. I would submit that he's not a chemist. Typically,
you don't have to be a chemist to know that it's crack.
Well, you would have to know.
It's chemically identical, as a matter of fact, to the paste and to the other forms of base.
In order for a jury to determine that it is in fact cracked as opposed to simple cocaine base, they would have to have evidence of that, and normally that's done through a government chemist.
But we've said in our decisions that maybe the people who are most expert of all are those on the street who are dealing with it, and if the dealer himself says it's crack, who are we to contradict him?
That's a fine point, Your Honor. I would point out
we've said it in decisions. I mean, maybe you want to tell us not to, but it is out there.
That's a fine point. I would submit, Your Honor, that admission was disputed by counsel, so we don't know whether the jury accepted that admission as accurate. We do know that all the parties, the government, the defense, the court, and the jury, use the terms as if they were interchangeable. And I would submit that the reason that they use those terms as if they were interchangeable is because the case law was unclear. It was muddied. And the case law on this issue was not clear until February of this year, almost a year after the verdict came in, when this court finally decided United States versus Edwards. Before that, at the district court level in the United States versus Edwards, Judge Shader described the case law as unclear. He also described it as, quote, muddied. Because of that, I would submit that that Judge Connelly, government counsel, and defense counsel reasonably believed that that if they didn't believe that the case law was unclear, they certainly believed understood that there was no difference in sentencing between a simple cocaine-based sentence and a crack-based sentence, and that's why they didn't dispute it at the district court level.
Okay.
If I may go on, Your Honor?
Yes.
This court has already previously decided this issue, an issue very similar to this. In 1993, the Sentencing Commission amended the guideline to specifically state that for purposes of the guideline, cocaine base means only crack. 1 year later, in United States versus Garrett, defendant Garrett stipulated that he distributed cocaine base, commonly referred to as crack, and pled guilty. The district court imposed a guideline crack cocaine sentence, and Garrett did not object. On appeal, defendant Garrett contended that his cocaine base was not crack cocaine, and the government, just like in this case, argued that Garrett had waived this issue. This court noted that the distinction between crack and cocaine base for purposes of sentencing was not clear at that time. The court then stated that on remand, defendant Garrett might argue before the district court that exact issue. We would submit that in this case, the distinction between crack and cocaine base for purposes of sentencing was even less clear than it was in United States versus Garrett, because in United States versus Garrett, the Sentencing Commission had a year before had specifically defined cocaine base to mean only crack. In our case, we're simply dealing with the statutory definition of cocaine base, and Congress has never defined what cocaine base means. So district courts and counsel have had to rely on this court's interpretation of what cocaine base means. It's clear now that the district court and counsel made a mistake in determining or in believing that cocaine base for purposes of the statutory mandatory minimum included all cocaine base, crack cocaine base, and non-crack cocaine base. Just in this last, the reason that they did that, Your Honors, is because Judge Shader made that exact same holding at the district court level in United States versus Edwards, and this court didn't reverse that issue until February of 2005, almost a year after this verdict had came in.
But excuse me, counsel, in Edwards there was a question about whether the substance in fact was cocaine base in the form of crack, and there isn't any suggestion of that in this record, is there? I mean, I don't know how you get around the stipulation that your client entered into, which it obviated the necessity of calling the forensic chemist when the parties stipulated that the chemist would testify that this was cocaine base, commonly known as crack. In other words, that form of cocaine base which takes the form of crack.
Your Honor, I would submit that the reason that district court counsel and Mr. Sanders entered into that stipulation is because they were under the false impression based on the district court decision in United States versus Edwards that there's no difference between a sentence of cocaine base versus a sentence of crack cocaine.
But you asked them to set aside the stipulation because it was mistaken?
It was mistaken, Your Honor, and it was mistaken because of the case law, because the case law was unclear. Judge Shader also was mistaken at the district court level. During the last oral argument, this court suggested that if a judge can make a mistake, it's certainly possible, it's certainly reasonable that the litigants might make a mistake, and I would suggest that that's what happened in this case.
As Judge Sykes pointed out, if the stipulation stands, that's the end of it, right?
I'm sorry?
If the stipulation stands, your argument doesn't make any difference. Whether they did it on a mistaken belief or not, they agreed to what the substance was, right?
Well, that's not entirely clear, Your Honor, because we're still dealing with the jury verdict, which Mr. Sanders would still submit that it is ambiguous. The jury verdict reads exactly, guilty of distributing cocaine base, commonly known as crack cocaine. We would submit that it's impossible from that jury verdict to determine whether the jury had found Mr. Sanders guilty of distributing simple cocaine base or specifically crack cocaine base. The consequences between the two different jury verdicts would mean sentencing guideline range of 24 months to 30 months if it were simple cocaine base, but 20 years if it were crack cocaine base. Because of the enormous difference in sentencing, we would submit that this issue warrants careful scrutiny, and we would submit that it is ambiguous, Your Honor. If Your Honors have no more questions, I would reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Cameron. Mr. Alicia?
May it please the Court, Joseph Alicia on behalf of the United States. Your Honors, in this case, the substance at issue was found by a jury beyond a reasonable doubt to be crack cocaine. The judge at the time of sentencing found the substance at issue to be crack cocaine. And most importantly, as Your Honors have already pointed out, the defendant, both at the time of his arrest and during the trial, admitted that the substance that he distributed was in excess of 50 grams of crack cocaine, no other form of cocaine base but crack cocaine.
Mr. Alicia, would you agree that at least for the future, this formula of words that the district court judge used, cocaine base, commonly known as crack, isn't the best in light of Edwards and in light of the fact that there is, at least as we've recognized, a distinction, cocaine base in the form of crack cocaine or something would because your opponent makes an argument that there's an ambiguity and there's a way of reading it that it's cocaine base which takes the form of crack, but I suppose there's a way of reading it to say cocaine base and crack are synonyms, which of course would be wrong.
Judge, I believe that cocaine base in the form of crack cocaine would be a little more specific. However, in this case, cocaine base, commonly known as crack cocaine, implies that what we said in our brief, that that term is identical.
It could imply that. I'm willing to go with you that far. It could imply that, but I don't know that it has to imply that.
Well,
you could say A, commonly known as B, and you might be saying that they're synonyms too.
Well, I'd like to liken it as an alias. In this case, you know, Tyler Sandman or Tyler Sanders, commonly known as Sandman, that was his street name. George Herman Ruth, commonly known as Babe.
Those instances, you're absolutely equating the two. It's the same man
right. On
both sides of the equation, whereas you're saying that's not true here. You're saying cocaine base, you know, which is something that includes however many forms, you know, two or three different forms of cocaine base, you're likely to see, commonly known as crack, a subset, you know, one of those forms. And I'm just worried, I mean, that there is such a huge consequence, at least for guidelines, well, under the statute as well, for guidelines purposes. This guy's still under the 30-year statutory maximum anyway, but inside that maximum, this makes a difference to him.
I believe the maximum in this case, Judge, was life.
Oh, was it life? Okay,
it
well, whatever. He's inside the statutory maximum one way or the other, but it makes a difference to him, particularly in the light of the evolution of how we deal with the guidelines, how we deal with the statutes.
I would agree with that, Judge. And short answer would be in the form of cocaine base, in the form of crack cocaine, would be a little more particular and specific. But I believe the government's position in this case, the language used, was clear. As we said, the defendant admitted to it. That's what he referred to it as,
right,
in his
yeah.
own words, as crack.
So is your basic point that, well, I'm sure you're saying there's no error, but that even if there were, it's harmless?
Absolutely, Judge. In light of the overwhelming evidence in this case, testimony from the agent, from the cooperating witness, Ms. Mahone, from the defendant's own words, and from the stipulation, and also from the substance that the jury was marked as an exhibit.
Well,
the jury
was sitting there in the courtroom, right?
Absolutely, Judge. It was an off-white substance in a hard rock form, just as the defendant had described what he'd sold as hard. The jury was able to see that and determine for themselves, which they did, that the substance was crack cocaine. Thank you. We would ask that you affirm the conviction and sentence of Mr. Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Alicia. Mr. Camarena? How much time? You have 30 seconds.
Your Honors, I would submit that the verdict in this case is almost identical to the verdict in United States versus Thomas, a Massachusetts district court case. In that case, the verdict was guilty of distributing cocaine base, sometimes known as crack cocaine. I would submit that the district court and that level got it right when it stated that for all that can be known for certain from the verdict form, the jury might have simply intended to find the defendant guilty of crimes involving cocaine base and held that the verdict was ambiguous. Again, because the difference is there's a 10 times difference between a cocaine base sentence and a crack cocaine base sentence, I would submit that this error cannot be harmless error. Unless Your Honors have any more questions, we would simply submit that the verdict was ambiguous.
Thank you, Ms. Kammerer. Thank you for accepting the appointment and your great service to the court. Thank you.
My pleasure, Your Honor.
Case will be taken under advisement. The next case.